Holy smokes, you guys. What is this? We're in the same room together. It's been like 6 months.
5 months. Five and a half.
We're rounding in our favor. Six.
Almost 6 months.
Always rounding up. To 6 months.
Mm-hmm. I kid you not, last night I was so excited to come back into the studio. I laid out my clothes like it was the first day of school. And I kept waking up throughout the night last night. It's so strange.
Is it time to wake up yet?
I woke up and I was like, oh, I'm so tired, but I'm ready to go. And I look at the clock. It's 1:30. And there's almost no better feeling in this world than knowing you have 3 more hours of sleep.
Oh.
It's like, oh, it's so good. So
I went to bed at 7 o'clock last night.
Did you really?
I was in bed by seven. Yeah,
good for you. Well, I tell you what, it is great to see your faces again, to be in the same room, to be doing this thing. Ian, you're not in the same room, but you're right there.
I miss this room so much.
Did you?
I did. My little dungeon.
Does it still have that smell that you always talk about?
Yeah. I don't know what that is. I'll have to look at it after.
I think it's sweat and black mold.
Maybe mold. Yeah, perhaps.
Black mold. Yeah. All right, so some good news and some bad news to get things going today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
All right, so a Louisiana dog ended up getting hopelessly stuck when it tried to get out of a yard in St. George, community outside of Baton Rouge. Embarrassing photos, which ended up all over social media, showed the hound was in the process of cramming itself under the fence when it realized, and who hasn't been here before, its butt was too big to squeeze through.
Oh, boy.
This is shameful.
Yeah, that big old badonkadonk.
Why has that fence got a fat shame? That pupper.
It's not exactly clear how long the dog was stuck, but they actually had to call in the St. George Fire Department to help wedge the dog out. And thankfully, dog is fine. Maybe a little embarrassed.
It was a corgi, wasn't it?
Corgis have such big asses.
They do.
But they know how to work it.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they're thick.
Let's switch it.
Two C's.
Well, shout out to the St. George Fire Department down there in Louisiana. They didn't bring in the jaws of life. They brought the paws of life.
Oh, what a dad joke.
Oh, yeah. He's back. That's a dog firefighter joke.
Oh, man, my little hotkey doesn't work. I was going to have the little...
Do you not have your... You got to probably turn your thing up on the board, maybe?
I think it's just whatever. I'll figure it out. we're easing back in, guys.
I need affirmation for my jokes, man.
We all laughed at a crappy joke. Some good news today as well. Hormel Foods providing free college education to the children of all 16,000 employees that they have that work for their company.
Don't they make chili?
So, yeah. Buy yourself some Hormel chili. This is actually really awesome. Wow. They announced last week it's going to begin offering 2 years of free college tuition to all of the children of their American-based employees beginning next year, not based on achievement, test scores, or GPA. The new program is a way to create equality in education admissions, and the hope of the company is that they'll take advantage of the offer and will be, for many of the kids, first-generation college students. But, I mean, that's huge, right?
Huge.
College for 16,000 employees, that's a big deal. I would imagine it's a game-changer for the parents.
That's a lot of chili.
Why do I think that you're probably individually responsible for about 8,000 kids going to
school? Well, when it comes to buying canned chili, I usually do buy Hormel.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
But I feel like canned chili, if we're just being honest, it looks the same no matter what state of eating or digestion that it's been in.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about going in and coming out.
Yeah, you're like, why is there a full kidney being...
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So, if it's not tilting enough that there are wildfires raging throughout all of California right now, the fact that it was all started by a gender reveal party just makes it so much more maddening.
Well, one of them was. There's
still,
you know,
the whole state of California is on fire because somebody wanted to go to a dumb gender reveal party and blow something up.
One gender reveal fire is 100 too many.
Yes,
that's for sure. I mean, have we hit
just cut some cake?
Have we hit peak just self? You know, like, we don't care about anybody else. And can't we just use this as a kind of an example to not have to do gender reveal parties?
No, I want them just because I love it whenever I see the guys who are trying to hit the balls and they totally miss and then it ends up being a boy or something.
That is an upside when they when they try to tee off a golf ball or something.
No, I mean, you do your thing, whatever, but don't invite me. I don't need to be there. Like, I'll watch the video.
You do not. You're like, I'll watch the first... maybe 30 seconds of the video, maybe, forward. And then skip forward. Yeah. So look anyway, it's a huge mess right now, all over the place. There's, you know, fires that continue to rage. Still a lot of work, and that's not the only weird thing that's going on weather-wise in the country. I mean, have you seen what's happening in Denver?
No.
So like this weekend, it was like 100 degrees in Denver, and then they're expecting there to be anywhere between 3 and 6 inches of snow this week as well.
Global warming, you say?
It's just, man. But the really good news of this week is that football is back.
Ooh, NFL football on
Thursday. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Gosh, so that just chills down my spine.
Eagles fan, it seems weird. Like, it doesn't seem like it's football season, and that's just because everything that's been going on, I guess. But yeah, it doesn't feel like it's football season yet. Even though
is this
I know
a later,
that it is.
Does it feel like, is this a later start than a normal?
Like a week
or
two,
or is this
right?
A normal start time?
Yeah. So they didn't do preseason games, which is the big thing, right? Because that kind of warms you up to it. But also, college is supposed to have been going for about the past month now.
Okay.
You know, the last couple of weeks. So. Yeah. Eagles fans were organizing a massive drive-in, big tailgate for opening day. So they're set to kick off their 2020 season this weekend. And they're doing kind of like what we've seen with movie theaters around the country, you know, where people are showing up in their cars and they're doing a tailgate.
That's
and they're
cool.
All supposed to, like, stay in their little area. But they all can kind of, you know, be at the same party and, you know, they watch the game on the big screens, but you can stay in your car.
How are
so
they
like
going to,
distance.
Do they have, instead of like the normal jail that they have in the stadium, do they have like a new impound lot that they've put there for people who are getting too rowdy?
Yeah, do they have to, like, for the Eagles fans, do they have to have like a bunch of paddy wagons, like jail on wheels, you know, so that way they can just lock
it's
people
in?
Yeah,
it's tow trucks.
Just lock them away. Throw away the key.
Put them in porta potties.
Just dip them over.
So anyway, football's back. Very excited about that. And it feels a little bit strange, but
I'm excited.
I mean, the fact that we're back in studio and football's back, like things,
it's
I don't know.
Christmas?
I don't know if things are getting normal again or if we're just, you know.
No, we're just desensitized to everything.
Is that what it is?
Any bit of hope we are just grasping, you know, desperately grasping to, and we're probably going to squeeze it to death. It's like the Lenny and the Mouse.
Just
you know,
so just, much.
Yeah.
Is that a Mice and Men reference?
That is.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Hey, guys. Good morning. You know, glad to see that you're all back in the studio. You know, you might be seeing a little foam stick or something, so I figured maybe I'd put on a little bit of a ambient background noise, you know, maybe just to ease your nerves.
Message deleted.
Dave, will your long crew be here every day?
Yeah, no, so it's not every day. It's every other day, and I do have them showing up to just make things ease a little bit easier into the process of returning to the studio. As you can see, you know, a couple little bumps in the road today, sort of getting things reacclimated, everything else. But very nice of that gentleman to offer the ambient noise.
Yeah,
with
we appreciate it. We feel like we're back at home already.
Yeah.
Well, is there a dumpster outside? Only could hear it.
Yeah, it's how annoying. Like, there's a huge dump truck outside right now, emptying the dumpster, and you can't hear it. Whereas before, you know, that would have been a very real.
Yeah, they're out there moving that around. We've got 50-mile-an-hour winds. Yeah, you know, you can't hear any of that. It just sounds peaceful.
Soundproof studio.
And non-echoey.
Boring.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You guys are always talking about big snakes and, like, how they're all out to kill us. Can you cut that stuff out? The big snakes are just as safe as ferrets or dogs, so please stop spreading that fake news.
Message deleted.
Are big snakes just as safe as ferrets or dogs?
No, man. I've never heard of a single story in the world where a ferret has murdered somebody in cold blood, whereas snakes all the time.
Yeah, you don't hear a lot of stories about the chihuahuas choking their owners to death. Doesn't happen a lot with big snakes. However, big snakes rather menacing. Yes.
They have never found a dachshund in the Everglade that has swallowed a half dismembered body.
Yeah, there's people that we figured out over the years that defend everything. Like, do you remember one time we were talking about what a-hole sharks are? Not like that's breaking news. And a bunch of the, like, shark people got mad at me. I'm like, was there a contingent of people who were just like, how could you say anything negative about sharks? They're mindless killing machines. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, the tarantula people too, as well, came after you for like a month and a half.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh man, we couldn't get them off our backs.
You had people who got mad at you because you were you didn't want tarantulas in front of your
protecting his family.
I did not want a nest of tarantulas living in my front yard. Yeah,
next to his newborn baby.
Yeah,
yeah. What are you gonna defend space Nazis next? Is that what's going on? I'm sure there's somebody out there.
Space does suck.
No, it doesn't.
See, Mahoney's a space guy. That's what
I'm
I'm for the space allies.
Is that what it is?
That is what I am for.
Some people throw up a lot. Some people throw up occasionally, and some people don't throw up at all. I'm the guy that throws up a lot, like a lot.
Message deleted.
So I was at a wedding this weekend, and there was one of the guys that I was staying in the house with. Mm-hmm. He's my brother-in-law. He's married to my wife's sister. And he had quite the night on Friday, so much so that he was throwing up the entire next day.
Wow.
I can't tell you the last time that happened to me.
Oh, that's me sometimes.
See, I mean, a fair amount of bad decisions on Friday night as well. Probably drank too much and definitely ate a whole sleeve of Pringles.
Oh, that's fun.
And there was at one point where I woke up in the middle of the night and my stomach was like, hey,
Were they original?
They were the original.
Although, yeah. Sour cream.
The sour cream are good, but I don't feel like I can get through a whole sleeve of sour cream.
I got
some too much.
I go one original to one sour cream.
Wait, you have a Pringles system?
Yeah, and I stack them.
That's a fat man thing.
Yeah. Wait, so you dual pop? You pop on two cans of Pringles at the same time and then
damn
go?
Damn straight I do.
Pop, the fun
I dual wield.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Stack them on there real carefully so they don't break.
I mean, is there a better shaped chip? I mean, there's nothing, no chip that is more consistently shaped than a Pringle.
Well, see,
we should be celebrating their uniformity.
Well, I would agree with you, except for these stupid Pringles that I got were the ridged ones.
Okay.
That's which, like a lay.
I don't like it.
I've never even seen that.
No,
blasphemy.
Yeah. You didn't even tell me. It said the original flavor, but then they showed up and they were ribbed for no one's pleasure. I didn't like it at all.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Well, luckily the can was still there.
Yeah.
It's top stories. Here's what's making news.
So the Tokyo Olympics are about done with all this COVID stuff, too. The postponed Tokyo Olympic Games will go ahead with or without COVID, said the VP of International Olympic Committee Games. The Olympics will start on July 23rd next year, and they're calling them the Games that conquered COVID, which seems,
a little premature.
And believe me, as somebody that has been premature before, you just got to be careful with that sort of thing.
Don't take the victory lap.
Before there's victory?
Yeah.
Also, there's athletes involved that have to, agree to want to be a part of the Olympics in 2021.
A lot of athletes.
Yeah, right.
11,000 athletes are supposed to be coming in from 200 countries,
Banning America from it, too. I don't know if you read that report because, us withdrawing from the WHO and all the World Health Organization.
Awesome.
So, I mean, man, how are you going to try to have an Olympics without America?
Without America.
That's right. It ain't an Olympics without America.
Okay, so maybe I'm a little bit jaded on this. Does anyone still care about the Olympics?
I do. No,
do you? I don't care about the Olympics at all.
I only care about it during certain sports.
Like what sports?
I mean, track and field.
Track and field's awesome. Okay. Swimming is awesome.
When we're winning.
Olympics are awesome.
I care about the sports that we are winning.
Yeah. Gymnastics are awesome.
If we suck at it, I'm sure they're the super ultra marathon running,
we have snowshoes and rifles for whatever reason.
No. It's like the dudes from Kenya who run 100 miles or something. That one, I'm okay. The ones we don't win, I don't want to watch.
Not interested.
Just want to watch what we're good at.
Well, so it's happening whether COVID is around or not, which again, maybe a little bit excessive to start calling it the games that conquered COVID, but July of next year is when it's supposed to be going down. So space sucks. Talk about that all the time. And doubling down here, the moon is rusting.
What do you mean rusting? Did we forget to pay for the undercoat at the dealership? We swore it wasn't gonna matter.
the research, which was published in Science Advances, notes that the rust may be a result of lack of water discovered on the moon, but it's still shocking given the lack of oxygen and lack of water with no atmosphere. You're like, there's no water, and yet somehow it's still rusting. No atmosphere provided oxygen on the moon, and the sun's solar wind delivering hydrogen, which should act as a reducer, they say. Scientists are baffled why the moon is rusting and where that rust is even coming from. So I don't know if this is a bad thing, but it doesn't seem good.
Can we is the solar system's HOA gonna like start fining us
because
we've got an 86 dachshund on blocks in the front yard, which is our moon? Is that what's going on here?
Wouldn't just that just be the most American thing ever? Like the moon rotates and you just see a bunch of Camaros in the front yard.
Dave Farah and the fake morning shoes. Wait, fake morning. Dave Farah and the fake news morning show.
You know you're putting fake news out there.
Fake news.
Plus I'm a liar.
Yeah, I'm a liar. The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show presents Fake News Pharaoh.
Well, I've been accused of delivering fake news once on the show today because I didn't say that big snakes are nice. Here we go with Fake News Farah. A total of three stories. You guys trying to figure out which one of these is the fake news.
Don't be a size queen, Dave, when talking about snakes.
All right. So again, only one of these stories is fake. Good luck to both of you as you try to figure it out today. A man by the name of Henry, he said that he lost his life savings, $2,600, on a carnival game. And then all he has to show for it is a stuffed banana with dreadlocks.
Dude, I want that banana with dreadlocks so bad. Even though it's culturally inappropriate, it's still, when I'm walking by that, you know, it's either that or the goldfish, I got to go with the banana with dreadlocks.
Because every time somebody walks by with one of those in your head, you go, what a cool banana.
Well, that guy's cool. That guy blanks.
So he attended this carnival, and it was run by the New Hampshire-based Fiesta Shows. He said he wanted to win an Xbox Kinect at a game called Tubs of Fun, where contestants toss balls into a tub.
That's what Hype calls me.
He practiced, and he says it was easy, but then something changed when he started playing for the prize, and the balls kept popping out. The 30-year-old said that he was trying to win back his money by going double or nothing. He dropped $300 in just a few minutes. Next thing you know, he went home to get $2,300 more, and soon he lost all of that as well. Now he's actually threatening legal action against the carnival. My man, as somebody who has done similar things, but more casinos than carnivals, you ain't got no ground. You trying to sue because you blew through $2,600 trying to win yourself a banana with dreadlocks Xbox Kinect.
Yeah. You could have bought four.
Yeah, he wanted the Xbox, but only ended up with the banana with dreadlocks. Haven't you lost the money on a carnival cruise or a carnival cruise casino?
Yeah, so story number one, $2,600 on a banana
That's
with
real.
Dreadlocks.
That guy's
totally
a dope.
Story number two, speaking of getting litigious, a Florida man is suing his mother for breastfeeding him until he was 11. Jake Miller, who is now 23, claims that his mother, she's a bit overly protective, he says. The fact that she breastfed him until he was 11, it's permanently affected his ability to develop healthy relationships with women. He is demanding $250,000 in compensation for the trauma he suffered. Also asking for $100,000 of punitive damages to be imposed on his 46-year-old mom. Her name is Dorothy Jensen Miller. Dorothy Miller's attorney pleaded in her client's defense that breastfeeding is a healthy practice, and even though the defendant and plaintiff's relationship was uncommon and unusual, there were no signs of intentional mistreatment on her part.
That is disgusting.
Very Game of Thronesy.
Yeah,
Very 11. Which, by the way, if we thought Joffrey was bad, that kid.
Oh, evil.
Whatever his name was.
Whatever your name was. No, I think King Tut was actually breastfed until he was like died.
King Tut?
Like 40.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I believe this.
Yeesh.
I mean, it's possible.
All right. Let's see this last one.
A New Hampshire woman who was stuck in a swimming pool after the ladder broke turned to Facebook to ask for help getting out. 61-year-old Leslie Kahn was swimming in her pool on August the 11th when the ladder broke, leaving her stranded. She didn't have the strength to pull herself up. No one else was home. But her cell phone was inside. She used a pool pole to drag the chair with her iPad on it, and she posted in a community Facebook page asking for help. She labeled the post 911 to get people's attention. A woman who lived nearby showed up, followed by police and a neighbor, and they got her out of the pool. My guess is that this is probably an above-ground pool, because those have the flimsier ladders, kind of like you'd find on the back of a boat, you know, where you're like a little rickety.
Oh, if you haven't fallen off above ground pool ladder, you are not from the Midwest.
You have not lived.
Yeah, I mean, like, because you always get on top and then you try to jump and then it's slippery and then the ladder's not really that well grounded.
Right, yeah.
I believe that. I mean, oh, God, this is going to be so hard.
All right, so again, the recap, the $2,600 banana with the dreadlocks, the Florida man suing his mom for breastfeeding him until he was 11, and the woman stuck in her swimming pool had to turn to Facebook for help. Only one is fake news. Mahoney, what's your guess?
So, I believe the woman in the swimming pool. I believe the creepy, weird breastfeeding thing, but like, I also don't think he should be suing his mom. I feel like the banana with dreadlocks is too accurate or too detailed of a description. So I am, and I also don't think that guy has $2,600.
Well, he had $2,600.
Well, yeah, I don't think he had $2,600 to gamble away at that fair. So I am calling story number one, fake news, Farrah.
All right, Audrey.
I'm gonna go with that too, just because I feel like at some point, and maybe not because I'm not a huge heavy gambler, but I feel like if you reach the point where you're like, you know what, I could have just bought the Kinect.
No,
you just keep pushing.
There's,
okay,
there's been many a nights where I could have bought that Willy Wonka slot machine. both of you are incorrect.
Oh, yeah.
Thankfully, it was the 11-year-old breastfeeding. That was the thing.
John
Aaron,
that was the terrible name on Game of Thrones.
But yeah, both of you totally blew it. First game back this week. Quit.
Glitz. Glamour. Fame. Scandal. Weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So Mulan just dropped on Disney Plus, and it has, you're giving it a thumbs down, Audrey. You
hated
know, not a fan, huh?
Hated it.
Haven't seen it.
Didn't have Eddie Murphy.
No. Well, there was no talking animals, but there was so much animation going on, and there were so many fantastical things. It was very like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragons as far as like walking up walls. I won't do any spoilers, but it wasn't worth the 30. Wait for it to be free.
Yeah, so digital purchase, $30 on top of the monthly Disney Plus subscription, which I didn't think that's how they're going to be doing it. I thought that you got Disney Plus and you just got all the movies, right?
Well, so the way that they did
it... Is this a new release?
This is a new release, okay. Yeah. Right. The way they did it the first time around, I mean, if you're looking back, if we're going back to March when they initially closed down all the theaters, and Onward was the Disney Pixar movie that was supposed to come out, you know, Tom Holland, Chris Pratt were,
so
you know,
good.
Great, but they released it early, and then you could buy it for, I think it was $20, and then... They put it on Disney Plus like 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
Just because they wanted people to move over to Disney Plus. So, like, since this is technically a new release, they're charging a premium. But, you know, I wasn't a big, huge Mulan fan to begin with.
Mulan fan. I'm not a Mulan fan.
I was obsessed. It's in my top five favorite movies. There's not
really?
Any
That's
of the songs.
Crazy.
They didn't do any songs. They
so this is just
wait,
like the live.
No singing?
No singing.
This is the live action. But in all the previous live actions, like with Beauty and the Beast,
they still do all the singing.
But really,
they wanted it to be like, you know, let's take the live action and kind of make it a little bit more like war-esque. They follow the plot line pretty much the entire way, which is really annoying. And they have this whole like Jedi power type thing with her. No songs. Totally.
So there's some backlash going on against the movie as well, because one of the cities where they filmed this movie at is, you know, where a lot of those concentration camps they have in China, where they're keeping, you know, the Muslims
Really?
Yeah. I mean, even though they're unrelated, it just happened in the same, they have it in the same city. So just people are like,
seems like the sort of thing that maybe be like, hey, let's not do it in the place where they're actively holding concentration camps, you know.
But you're also looking at this as kind of a propaganda piece for the Chinese government as well, which we've been seeing
more and more
towards Hollywood. So
in your face, Chinese government.
And I trust, you know, like since you were like such a huge fan of the
OG Mulan.
Yeah, the OG. Yeah. There's zero chance I'm seeing this. Zero chance I'm going to spend the money. Yeah.
So some sad news. Bruce Williamson, the lead singer of The Temptations, has passed away from coronavirus. He died Sunday night after battling COVID. He became a Temptation back in 2006 and sang with the group until 2015. And when I saw this, I'm like, man, this guy was only 49. And he like cut his teeth by singing gospel and church and everything else. 49 doesn't seem old enough to be in the Temptations.
Well, the Temptations have gone through several iterations over the years. And I've seen him. I've seen this version of the Temptations.
Were they good?
Several times.
Yeah.
The guy was an amazing performer. Yeah. I think the only original Temptations member that is still around is Otis Williams.
Williams, and he's, you know, almost 80 years old at this point. But this is very sad. This was a very talented man who, like I said, I'd seen many times myself and could put on a hell of a show, and certainly will be missed.
Well, speaking of COVID-19, you guys know who Michael Rooker is? He's the guy from The Walking Dead, was also in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yondu.
Yeah. The blue guy.
Yeah.
No.
He's got the arrow?
From Guardians of the Galaxy?
He was in Mallrats also?
I've not seen it. Is he the guy who's Daryl's brother?
Daryl's brother in Walking Dead, yeah.
Never saw that either.
Never saw that?
No.
He's very famous.
Well, okay. Yeah. So anyway, he
kind of looks like cracked out Woody Harrelson.
He does. Like, Woody Harrelson already kind of looks cracked out.
Is that what I need to Google? Like, cracked out Woody Harrelson from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Cracked out Woody Harrelson, then developed a meth problem. That's what Michael Rooker kind of looks like. But he said that he's been battling COVID-19, and the way that he's been doing it is he's been isolating in an Airstream in Mexico during his illness.
I guess he
lives in a trailer in Mexico,
okay.
Which is very on brand for Michael Rooker. Like that kind of works.
He's a great actor, though. I mean,
I like him.
But this is dangerous, though. Yeah. I mean, even though he's in good shape and he's, very like a man's man type of dude, you know, like you wouldn't want to mess with him. He looks very tough.
He looks like he's got old man strength.
Yeah,
doesn't he?
Oh yeah. He'd throw you around. No issue. But he is 65 years old.
Oh, is he really?
Which
65?
So,
wow.
Technically, the senior citizen at this point.
The very first picture that pops up whenever I went to go Google him, he's like dressed as like a Wookiee. Look at this, please. He's like wearing like
a fur coat
and a fedora that's plaid.
And a bandolier.
With like
that's the coolest photo I've ever seen.
Shotguns. Shotgun ammo.
Oh my God, yeah.
Strats.
That's awesome.
Huh.
Is he single?
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Why do cool things look so easy sometimes? Like, surfing looks pretty simple, but have you ever actually surfed? It's hard as hell. I'll never be cool.
Message deleted.
Man, you're so right on that. It's not just, you know, surfing is a good example because you're like, look at how easy that is. Do you guys see that video that was floating around of that guy riding that wave, the one that looks like a tsunami? I don't know if that's an old video or a new one.
Wait, are you talking about the giant wave?
The insane wave, yeah.
The one that he had to get pulled out by like a jet ski on?
Is that what happened?
I think so.
Okay.
I think that's how that goes down. Like, and if it looked like...
If it crashes on you, you're just dead, right?
You're dead. Yeah, absolutely.
You've gone.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like a good thrill of life as much as the next guy, but that just seems like insanity. But golf is another great example of something that looks so easy, and it is so hard.
It's just a tiny little ball. And it's just going forward.
It doesn't even really take that much strength, right? It's not like you have to be all built and like spend a lifetime in the gym in order to be able to achieve it. You just have to be able to control a club for like 3 inches.
Can't do it.
Can't even hit it. Nope. I can't even hit the ball.
Really?
Nope. I'm the person who will just whack it in and it goes like above or below or to the side or I get like the grass.
Can you even do like the top golf thing? Like, can you consistently connect there?
I have tried. It is all in the hips, and then the hips crack, and then the everything breaks.
You are not even close to 30, and your hips are cracking.
They're lying to me. It is not good.
You know what? Something else that appears to be very easy, but is not dancing.
Oh, so hard.
Nah, man, dancing's legit.
What do you mean dancing's legit?
You're just kind of there standing. You're just drunk.
You're that guy that's like lumbering in the middle of the dance floor. Like, can you move, sir? I think you're a fire
hazard. Like 99.9% of people don't know how to dance. They just were just drunk, horny, and rubbing up against each other.
No, that's not dancing. No, that's not dancing. I'm talking about like
you
can actually like bust a move. Like you come out there and you like pop and lock. Like, you know, you're good enough where you bring your own piece of cardboard to dance on.
Would you like fall into a 1980s time warp?
Hell yeah, man.
Break dancing war in Brooklyn? Like, what are you talking about? Like, you just show up a place and start dancing?
The TikTok dances are super popular. Like,
yeah.
I can't even do half the TikTok. I'm trying right now.
She's trying right now, and you're right.
I'm out of breath.
Yeah, yes.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Man, isn't the fifth element just, like, so good? Love that movie.
Message deleted.
What?
I've never seen it.
The Fifth Element, of course you haven't. It came out when you were three. Like, that's got to be 20-some years old now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's something. Mila Jovovich, I mean, that's an iconic role for her. It's, if you've ever seen, like, women dress up, or men dress up
as her
in you know, on Halloween or for costume parties in the very scantily clad, almost looks like white duct tape and orange hair. It's a good look that very few people can pull off. Mila Jovovich certainly does, and Bruce Willis is good, and one of Chris Tucker's early roles.
Was Chris Tucker in there?
And Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman.
Well,
yeah.
Gary Oldman was in it as well. But yeah, I mean, that movie's super old, man.
Super old.
Super old.
And I don't feel like that's one that's really like hung around.
Either. No, it's, I mean, it's a cult classic.
I mean, kind of.
It's a cult classic.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I mean,
it's just not like.
These vibes are making me want to watch it. I mean, like, she is a babe. And Chris Tucker looks great in cheetah print.
Chris Tucker used to be a pretty handsome guy.
Oh, he was a really good looking. What happened to Chris Tucker?
Got crazy.
Yeah, oh. went a little loopy.
A little off the rails.
Yeah.
Yeah, and ended up owing, like, I don't think he paid any of his, like, IRS debts for any of the Rush Hour movies, something like that.
Oh, boy.
So I know he got hit pretty hard by that. He was in, what was it, Silver Lining Playbook.
Yeah. He was actually good in that.
He's a good actor.
Because he played a crazy guy.
kind of fell off. It's
kind of
unfortunately.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Yo, I love you guys' show. Dave, you're okay, but Mahoney, stop being a tease. I hate teases. Thank you.
Message deleted. Wait,
did he call and say that he loves the show, I'm okay, and he hates you for being a tease?
I mean, yeah, you are a tease.
What do you,
how is Mahoney a tease?
What do you want from me? Do you want me to show a little bit more skin?
Yeah.
Do you want me to? I feel like I'm pretty open about my life and what goes on.
We are back in the studio today, and you are wearing a very floral shirt.
It's beautiful.
It is.
Well, I mean, this is to celebrate, Dave. I mean, we're back in studio. I had to go out and treat myself to 20 brand new Tommy Bahama shirts.
And you'd only it's buttoned away all the way to the top, too.
Yeah, isn't that choking you? And did you really buy 20 of them?
Yeah, I did.
What was the total tab on that?
Well,
oh no.
It was $720.
Oh, my God.
But I saved over a thousand.
Such an irresponsible
son
of a bitch. I hate you. We're in the middle of a global pandemic, and you're dropping a grand on Tommy Bahama.
But he saved a grand.
You spent $800.
No, yeah, I saved $1,000.
Oh, you're the worst.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I saved $1,000. I can show you the receipt.
I mean, that is a beautiful shirt.
Shout out to Wilberto down at the Prim Outlets.
You got a guy now?
What up, Wilberto?
It's Top Stories. Here's what's making news.
So I say it's a weird day here in Las Vegas, and it is. I mean, you look outside, and the weather is just all odd. Everything about it just seems off, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, gray, yeah, dark, dreary. This wind, too.
The wind is, yeah, howling
out
there,
too. Tornado season.
Well, we're getting like 50-mile-an-hour winds. I mean, were you guys, I mean, it was hard to breathe yesterday. I don't know if you spent any time outside. I was getting things ready for the studio today, so I was back and forth from my house to the studio a couple times. And even those, you know, like just a couple minutes that I spent outside loading my car, I was just like, oh, this is maybe I can't remember it being this bad in the last 15 years that I've lived here.
And you think about how big the state of Nevada is, right? I mean, so it takes 8 hours to get to Lake Tahoe, and that's where I was this weekend. I went there for a wedding, and a friend of ours got married on a boat, like on the lake. So
you
took like this big boat with the whole wedding party on it. That was like one of the, you know, multiple level boats.
Yeah.
Like an event boat,
and
then to the beach, and then they got married on the beach and got back in the boat, and that's where the party was and everything else. But I mean, even up there, the whole thing, I mean, it was just smoke in the skies the entire time. Still ended up being an amazing wedding.
I bet those pictures
like
cool.
Was it Running Man 20, whatever the sequel to Running Man was, where they end up in Las Vegas and it's like the deserts, you know, the city's kind of abandoned and the storms are blowing and you could barely see any of the casinos
sort of
on the
strip.
What
it feels like today.
Ryan Gosling? That's what I want to know.
that's always the question.
Is he in that movie?
I believe so. It's, one of those guys was.
82 degrees is the high today after it being, you know, in the hundreds and throughout this week. So tomorrow, they're saying 82 is the high as well, 87 on Thursday, 94 on Friday.
I mean, I'm stupid to weather. Yeah. Is that because of the coverage?
No, it's because of the storm front that's coming. It's why it's going to snow in Denver this week as well.
Coming from the East Coast, I guess?
There's a huge system that's coming through. But it was also a weird weekend in town. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw all the videos of, like, the fights and stuff that were happening down.
They gotta
raise the room rates, man. Like
something.
There's some sketchy ass people that are here in town and just like
doing donuts in the middle of intersections.
That was insane,
on Cactus.
Yeah, but then there was the fight like where three security guards down at the Wynn supposedly had to go to the hospital because 16 people got arrested.
They had to lock up the chips.
Did they really?
Yeah,
it was
that bad.
The boss came out and said, lock up the chips.
I was talking to a friend who works in the airline business. Or the airline industry, and they were saying that these flights from Florida are just packed.
Are they really?
It's like, so we are just importing Florida into the Vegas Strip,
we don't
man.
Need
that's
that.
what's going down here, man. Like it is, they're bringing their Florida man craziness down to the Las Vegas Strip, and I think you know the world has gone a little weird, and you know the excessive heat over the weekend definitely had people's tempers flaring. But the one that I saw, that you and I both saw, that Bossy Rossi sent to us, that dummy with like a Nazi tattoo who was trying to fight somebody, he was wearing a UFC shirt and like
wearing a UFC shirt and like pulls it up and shows off his KKK tattoo and then instantly gets his ass kicked.
I loved watching him get his ass whooped. But like, dude, if you're like, just because you're wearing the shirt doesn't mean you can fight.
Dude, you didn't get one punch off. Dang.
Oh, man.
So down on the strip this weekend, though, a visitor from Connecticut, this pretty big one here, playing a little poker like at the table, like the Pigao at Paris, and ended up hitting a straight flush for $552,000.
Whoa, man. See, I don't know how to play Pigao, but it's never me anyways.
Yeah, never.
Even if I knew
I learned how to play Pigao. It's one of those games that you want to play it for a long time or face up Pigao. But that's
craps.
That is I always lose on craps.
Still know how to play craps, right?
Because I'm always drunk when I'm learning.
Of course. Speaking of big wins, how about this? Station Casinos reported that a player won over $111,000 on Friday evening on a 60-cent bet at Sunset Station.
Wow. That's infuriating.
Yeah. That's a local. I'm glad it's going to a local. So good, you know.
Yeah,
the 60 cents bet though was that. I mean, tell me it was like a nickel machine that they bet.
No,
like
so what's wild is that this particular machine, it's the super lock slot machine, and it lets you bet anywhere from 60 cents to $30 per spin.
Oh wow!
And they bet the minimum of 60 cents, and they hit for $111,748 bucks. So good for them.
That max spins $38 a spin.
But still.
$30 a spin.
That's some heavy stuff right there.
Only when I've been drinking.
Some sad news over the weekend. Mike Sexton, who was one of the ambassadors of poker.
The voice.
And World Poker Tour for many years, Party Poker. And somebody that I had the pleasure to work alongside a handful of times throughout the years. Exceptionally nice, just genuinely sweet guy. Every single encounter, not only that I had with him, but just the way that I saw him treat everyone, right? Because he'd have fans coming up to him all the time. He always had time to talk to everybody. Just genuinely a really nice guy. He won about $7 million just in tournament play since he started playing back in the 1980s. But passed away at his home here in Las Vegas over the weekend at 72 years old, surrounded by his friends and family.
Too soon, man. Yeah. A good dude and... just unfortunate because, like I said, when I think of poker, that's who I think of. He's the voice.
Yeah, he's the guy, man. And he was just such a great ambassador for the game, because poker, during the years that he was really helping to bring it to prominence, on national TV and everything else, it had always been viewed as kind of like this underground sort of seedy scene.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
He really helped to elevate it, and just bring it to the masses. So definitely a huge loss, not just for the poker community, but also for the city of Las Vegas. And finally, the Herbst family is planning to build a non-gaming hotel in Gene. So in early 2007, when, all the real estate stuff was going on, a big casino company had pretty big plans for Gene. If you remember, like, MGM was going to put a property down there. I mean, there was all sorts of talk about what was going to happen.
I
don't
remember MGM.
The Herbst family, which obviously own and operate the terrible Herbst gas stations, drawn up plans for a 5-story, 208-room non-gaming hotel and retail space.
Like a Marriott.
Yeah. So, basically, right? Yeah. But what's interesting is that it's not a gaming property.
Well, I mean, they have like 100 pumps down there for gas.
Yep.
They got one of the only...
96 pumps is what you're talking about
specifically.
It's the world's largest Chevron.
One of the few White Castles in the state.
Yeah,
so I'm all for it. Like, if you've ever been to that gas station, that is one of the nicest gas stations, not only just in the country, but in the world.
No, I get why you would put a casino there. I just don't understand, like, why you would put a non-gaming property there. It's like, okay, I'm going to stop for gas. Definitely some White Castle. Oh, because the White Castle.
That's right.
You need your room.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
No! Why did you do that? Why?
Why did you do that, Terry?
There is a certain person, a person so vile and arrogant, the middle ground between horrible and useless, a culinary and retail nightmare, a person which we call Karen. These are the Karen Chronicles.
So these are all real reviews. Ian has done a masterful job combing through sites like Yelp and Google reviews to find these none too pleased ladies. And in one case today, a none too pleased man. The male version of a Karen is a Darren. And these are all real reviews that you are about to hear and from different establishments around the great United States of America. So let's start here with an Olive Garden in Orlando. Actually, 4 out of 5 for this Olive Garden, so pretty strong, right?
Pretty high.
Shay J said 5 out of 5 stars. Can't deny that the Olive Garden hits the spot every single time. Love me some Olive Garden, and no exception here. Alex S. said 5 out of 5. Definitely a nice atmosphere at this particular Olive Garden, although I'm not surprised. Most of the Olive Gardens that I go to, if nothing else, are very, very consistent, which I think is probably a fair assessment, right?
I mean, we all
go to Olive Garden, you know what to expect.
The same reason we eat McNuggets is the same reason we go to Olive Garden. We just want those breadsticks covered in that, oh, salty butter.
Karen,
piping hot out the oven.
Karen L. is none too pleased. And I just want to preface this by saying that she spelt Caesar salad wrong. Not one time, but every time. She spelt it S-E-S-A-R.
What?
Caesar.
And her review goes like this, 1 out of 5 stars. How hard is it to make a quality Caesar salad? I only ask because I originally thought there was a couple of simple ingredients. You mix it together and bam, you have a salad. Not the case here. When I ordered a Caesar salad, I didn't know you had to add anything else to it to accompany it. Had I known that you were going to fix something that is not broken and add cheese, I never would have ordered it. We already have enough idiots in this country. Stop being stupid and serve the food the right way.
Not the Parmesan. Not the Parmesan.
Right? Like, cheese always comes on a Caesar salad,
and
right?
Also, yeah. More cheese, please.
How
every
is,
time.
Is it? Can it be a Caesar salad without the cheese?
I don't think so.
I think it's just
lettuce.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a Caesar salad.
It's a Caesar.
Oh, that's what she's used to.
See, the C's not in there, right? Or
the C is in there. This is the Chicago Transit Authority in Chicago, Illinois. 3.75 out of 5 stars. Alex Z said 5 out of 5. Yes, they are well established, and there are some complaints. But when I wrote it, and both the L and the buses, they got it right wherever I needed to go quickly and without incident. I thought the service was pretty damn good. Alexa G said 5 out of 5, rode the bus for the first time a week ago on a trip. Overall, not too bad. They popped up every 5 minutes or so. Karen U said 1 out of 5 stars. Why is it that every time bus number 11 comes around, there is never any room for me to sit or stand? I honestly think the city does this on purpose and refuses to admit that we need bigger buses. The ones they have now, they're very loud and very small. Even the few times I was actually able to squeeze on, I was practically sitting on the driver's lap. I would love to be provided more seating so I can read my books. I've been telling them this for years, but no one listens to me.
Oh. Aw, can't feel bad for that, Karen.
No, specifically bus number 11.
It's always bus number 11.
At her stop.
Yes. It is a giant government conspiracy against you, Karen.
Mm-hmm. If the government can run that well, that they could specifically fill your bus.
Just hose you. So
just to screw you over.
They're like, we need 200 extras every day at 11:30 a.m. Like, just to mess with Karen and her book reading.
Like, we couldn't get CIA Black Ops to get that done, man. Like, you way, way, way overestimate the power of our government.
This is for the cabin in New York City. 4 out of 5 stars. David C. said 5 out of 5. Food is fantastic. Service excellent. Drinks were perfect. Highly recommend. Nesha S. said 5 out of 5. I'm so happy I found this establishment on Yelp. The ambiance is absolutely beautiful. Darren S. said 1 out of 5 stars. You can for sure skip this place. This is not the cost. Yes, it was pricey, but the dismal food. The food was tasteless, bland, and genuinely unappealing. A Swanson's TV dinner from a microwave would have been a considerable step up. They should just add McDonald's to the menu so the guests actually have something to eat. Basically, this is a parody of fro-fro cuisine. The food is definitely on the customers, and the joke is on them, too. They just don't get it.
Bro,
bro
cuisine.
Bro, bro cuisine. Ugh.
To me, that sounded more like a Chad than a Darren.
Did it? Okay, yeah, sorry.
A little chatty.
Sometimes I mix up like the English and the Australian accent. Yeah.
1 out of 5 stars. For that review.
Okay. Finally, this is the Royal Wolf in Driggs, Idaho. Okay. Yeah, 4 out of 5 stars. Carolyn D. said 5 out of 5. We stopped by on a whim while driving through from Big Sky back to Jackson. Totally a local hangout, great watering hole. Not quite the mood for a party that night, but if we were, man, we would have loved to have hung out. Stephanie M. said, 5 out of 5. This is the best restaurant ever. Literally nothing is open in Idaho after 9 or 10 p.m. This place has a bomb food kitchen, which is open until 10, and the party keeps going until 2 a.m. with the drinks. Karen C. Oh, not impressed. 1 out of 5 stars. Good food. Absolutely terrible wait staff. We own a home here, and we enjoy going for a period of time, but the miserable, unskilled townie waitstaff are atrocious. Unaccomplished women who are sad at their lot in life.
Oh, my God.
We now fully understand when owners say that they are on this side of the pass and the dregs of society you'll find here, because the halfway decent looking ones always drive through to Jackson. We are attractive people, and you can tell the staff did not appreciate how good looking we were. Don't go here if you drive a nice car or you're attractive too, because they'll make you feel super uncomfortable.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
All right, the Redneck Report will start today with a man got in big trouble for this one. He called 911 a whole bunch of times, and he kept asking the dispatcher if they wanted to buy egg rolls. Court documents say that Hu Nguyen called 911 approximately 1,171 times since July 15th of last year without having an emergency.
This guy's name's who?
Yeah, Hu Nguyen. He called 911 241 times on September 1st and 32 times on September 2nd. During one of the calls on September 2nd, he asked the dispatchers if they wanted to buy egg rolls and then hung up. The Memphis police found him in a shopping center and took him into custody.
Yeah, man, you can't be calling trying to pawn off you can't be trying to sell them egg rolls if you were dropping them off as a token of appreciation to the Memphis police.
So you said that this happened since last year, though, right?
Yeah, he's been going at it. I mean, so the total toll of the number of calls, almost 1,200 times.
So that's like roughly twice a day. Two times a day is a lot.
But there was one day where he just went buck wild and called them 241 times.
Are we sure
average is, whoa.
Yeah, it's.
Is this not just like a weird case of, you know, they're trying to do the old Abbott and Costello, who's on first? Like, who's calling 911? Is that what's going on?
I don't know if anyone's going to get that reference that's under 50.
Who's on first is a very famous.
Yes, what? Exactly.
Yeah, man, come on. Right,
no, I didn't get it. Okay. He's also like an old soul trapped in a classic.
And I love egg rolls.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You want to go for egg rolls after the show today?
Actually, I'm down.
Because I love
egg rolls right now.
Just for egg rolls?
And also just the two of you?
Yeah,
we're also in the room.
Hello?
Well, you guys like obviously don't know the Abbott and Costello who's on first, so.
No, we know it.
We know who is getting some egg rolls.
I don't know it.
And we're
going to. I want egg rolls.
We're going to eat them. Lady of the Tramp style.
Oh, like a Chinese finger trap.
It's just weird. It's just like 3 bites in total and you're just kissing.
All over your face.
So pro tip here, if you're drunk, especially if you're drunk, do not accept a $100 bet with your friend that it is a hilarious idea to wrestle a shark. This actually happened to a guy at a Florida beach last weekend. After reportedly accepting a $100 bet to, quote, mess with a shark, a man found himself with the animal latched onto his arm, because that's, you know, what sharks do.
Yeah.
The incident occurred at Jensen Beach over the weekend. Now, what sucks is that it was a baby nurse shark, but they can still bite you, right?
Yeah.
They just traditionally don't. Well, this guy was such a drunk boob that he was messing with this shark and got him. A 20-minute struggle. The shark was reportedly let go after responders poured alcohol on its face. The shark was then released back into the ocean, and Dum Dum had to go to the hospital.
Of course, Florida's like, pour some booze on. Give that shark a shot.
We had a shark attack. What do we need? Let's get him drunk.
Also, I feel like this was you guys 10 years ago.
As a former bartender, Audrey,
yes.
What shot would you make that shark?
Gosh, I don't even know. I'm just trying to think of something disgusting, like hot gin. Just straight to the shot. Oh, it's like that would make his mouth open real quick and vomit and run.
It's like, why does this taste like soap? Is it supposed to taste like soap?
Throws up a license plate.
A Florida man got $4 million in COVID-19 relief loans, and very smart of him, he laid low.
Okay.
I'm kidding. He bought himself a Lamborghini.
Oh, good.
Yeah. One of the first things that David T. Hines bought when he got the $4 million in relief loans from the feds was supposedly move his business to a super luxury area and then also bought himself a brand new Lamborghini, according to authorities. He purchased it for a cool $318,497. Was not on the list of permissible expenses under the Small Business Administration loan programs meant to protect employees.
Did they specifically list out Lamborghinis in the list of things you are not allowed to buy with the COVID relief funds?
Can you imagine being those people at the Small Business Association when you're sitting here, you're like, we need to add Lamborghinis to the list of things you can't buy with this.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Have you ever been part of a wedding disaster? So I mentioned it, but you know, Airbnb really, really screwed up this past weekend. It was a friend's wedding up in Lake Tahoe, and you know, beautiful up there, but they've been planning it for, as you'd expect, months on end,
right? Right.
Like
wow,
you do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
especially because it's happening over Labor Day weekend, so they
had the
whole thing with, you know, you take a boat out to this beach, they got married on this beach. It was really just the whole ceremony, the entire day was perfect. But the big problem came on Thursday going into the weekend before I even went up on Friday. So I didn't go up to join the rest of the party until after we'd done the morning show on Friday. But on Thursday, I get a kind of a frantic call from my wife going, hey, we just went to go check into our Airbnb. Keep in mind, there's 13 people on a holiday weekend in a very popular tourist destination. And there's another party staying in the house.
Oh, God.
And
how do you mess up something like that at Airbnb?
So Airbnb did nothing about it. They're like, oh, well, we'll give you another $200 credit for a different place. You're like, what good does that do us? Like, we're getting married this weekend. It's a wedding. Turns out that the other party that was staying in that house was also getting married. So you couldn't even be like, hey, man, like, could you leave?
Were they there the day before, or did they both get there on first day?
The other party that was getting married was getting married on that Saturday, but they had actually checked in the day before.
I was going to say, if you
arrived at the same time,
I would have fought them.
You would have fought them, right?
I would,
but because they were already there.
Tire iron something.
So Airbnb goes, oh, well, we can put you in a house tonight for Thursday night. Everything will be fine. We'll figure something else out. They didn't figure anything else out. Airbnb totally screwed the pooch on that one. But they sent them to another house for that night on Thursday night that was dirty. There was like bras all over the place and clothes. And I'm like, so Airbnb is sending a party of 13 people to an unclean house during the COVID-19 pandemic. Like, God, you guys are just the worst. They ended up figuring it out because they had some family friends in the area and they actually had a house, but the wedding party had to split. So like everyone was supposed to stay at the same house. They weren't able to and everything else. But that was only one of the things that happened this weekend.
Oh no. That's a huge thing.
This wedding party was a good time. Like everyone was great, you know, but the guy that got married, he had his groomsmen that had been his best friends since he was a little kid.
Okay.
But they like to party a little bit, right?
Well,
it's a big celebration.
It's a big celebration. For the first time ever in my entire life, I was honored to be at a wedding where a groomsman passed out mid-ceremony.
No way!
Did he lock his legs? What happened?
He said he locked his legs. We're sitting there, and thankfully, it's on a beach. And I've got a picture that I'll show you guys on the stream here in a couple of minutes. But he just straight down. I'm like, did somebody just fall over? And then I see him stand up, and he is just ghost white. And I'm like, oh,
no. So hungover?
Yeah, he was hammered, right? And so he's leaning on another one of the groomsmen who's got his arm like behind his back trying to hold him up. And we're sitting there watching it and trying to focus on the vows that are going on at this exact moment. And I'm like, he's going down again. He's going down again. He went down again.
Twice?
He went down twice. And eventually, so somebody like goes and tries to bring him a chair. And he's like, no, man, I got this. He was so determined.
Tell me
and
down. Then, he fell down.
No, he actually hung in there after going down the second time.
Was
man.
Did everybody else find this as humorous as you did, or were people kind of like, what's going on?
Well, so
here?
it was kind of a mix, because the bride and the groom, because they were so caught up in the moment, and thankfully he was the groomsman on the very end. They didn't even notice it while it was happening, and they thought it was pretty funny afterwards. There was obviously a decent amount of like parents and grandparents that didn't think it was quite as hilarious as we did.
I mean, why wouldn't you just continue to drink at that point? If you know you're that hungover and you have to like go up there and like be a part of a day. And it was also an outside wedding, right?
An so, outdoor
like,
wedding. Yeah.
Oh, I would have started drinking again, right? Wouldn't you have?
And to be fair, I was with him earlier in the day. He was drinking a fair amount.
Oh, okay.
And I guess that it was just the perfect combination. But so between the Airbnb and the multiple dropping it during the middle of the ceremony while the vows were happening, it was quite the weekend.
Well, the other groomsmen holding him up, Troy said, wedding at Bernie's.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So have you ever been part of a wedding disaster? Copper in chat said not exactly a disaster, but as the wedding reception that I was at was winding down, a tornado warning was issued. And so we all had to run down to the designated storm room for about 15 to 20 minutes. I mean, that certainly could have been worse, right? But
oh, yeah.
This one from Jenny on Facebook. I paid to have a groom's cake made. I brought a picture of the dragon tattoo that he had on his arm and asked if they could recreate the same dragon design on the cake. And they said it would be extra.
Fair enough.
I told them it was fine.
Fair enough. Yeah, you pay for quality.
Worth it.
On the wedding day, they brought the cake out, and it was literally a sheet cake with the paper that I printed on top of the cake. They literally just placed the paper I brought on top of the cake and called it a day.
Yes.
They
charged extra.
The same venue also had us bring in photos from when we were kids so they could put them in the wedding video. They lost the pictures, so they weren't in the video, and basically said, oh, so sorry. We paid extra for that, too, in the video, and I foolishly didn't make copies before giving them the original pictures that they lost. So now the photos that we had of ourselves when we were little kids are lost forever.
That is...
I would Karen both of those.
That's not even a Karen moment. If they're like, nope, sorry, and you paid extra, and there's no, like, real compensation for that? That's because they're already ripping.
Like, makes me mad.
They already rip you off. Yeah. Like, man, I've had a couple people, you know, doing photography over the years, you know, have approached me about doing weddings, and I will not.
Because I
would do it for a friend if they needed something, but like for people, somebody who's not a friend, like the videographers, the photographers, it's such a racket. It really is. And I know I'm going to get a bunch of angry stay-at-home parents who use that as their second job. We're going to be like, no, it's really hard.
No, you're
charging like 12 grand sometimes for photos.
Here's the thing. Is that the reason why they charge such obscene amounts is because it's so difficult to get it right. Because what you're doing is you're supposed to be in charge of creating whatever the vision is in the head of the bride and the groom, or sometimes the bride's mom or whatever it is. And so it's never good enough, right? And so if I were to get into the business of doing weddings in any way, there just isn't enough money.
I feel like at this point, though, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's all about the filtering. Like, people don't, like, the getting the shot, if you've got a good camera and, like, having the vision of that, that's why you go in to be a photographer in the first place.
Yep.
But it's, like, the coloring of the photos
everything
of that nature.
It's all
got to
be blown out. Oh, yeah. It's all the oranges look red. The reds look orange.
Yeah, it's the teals and oranges.
I'm so glad that in my personal situation that my wife did not want to have a wedding, because the cost that just is involved, you know, I mean, one little thing goes wrong and there's like $40,000 out the door and you're unhappy. It's like, why are you paying $40,000 for an unhappy day?
Or a sheet cake with a dragon tattoo printed out on it on
cool.
computer paper.
The top, they're like, hell yeah, I'm charging you $300 for this bitch. Brian said the closest we had to a disaster was me forgetting the rings in my apartment. Thankfully, my bride took it in stride, which is good to hear. And this one I love so much. Stephanie said, the best man said the ex's name in the speech twice.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Have you ever been a part of a wedding disaster? Catherine said, my first wedding, a little kid who was a stranger showed up at the park that we were getting married at and started throwing the frog balls at the minister and the groomsmen. Somehow that wasn't enough. The minister marrying us started talking about how important sex was to the marriage, to which my 94-year-old great-grandmother did not appreciate. Marriage lasted 7 years. Pretty good run.
That's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
What is it called? The 7-year itch?
Yeah.
Maybe he was right.
Kirsten said, my mother-in-law had too much to drink, fell, and smashed her nose. Got a call in the hotel suite that she needed medical attention.
No.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad, because whenever you reach a certain point, I feel like whenever you have those drunken stumbles and fumbles, it almost is worse than like a 20-year-old, right?
Yep. Kroz said, I was the best man to my buddy, Matt, and he was not informed that I was holding the ring for when the time came in the ceremony. And so they asked for the ring, and he high-key freaked out for a few seconds, searching through his pockets, thinking that he had lost it. Aww. And then he turned around, and there's me standing right behind him with the ring. LOL.
We almost, so my wife and I, we were going to a wedding. This is one of the very few weddings that, this is probably the last wedding I will travel for. We went over to Greece. And my wife and I believe we had just gotten engaged at that point, and we were on an airplane, and I had just given her her engagement ring and, you know, spent, you know, a sizable amount for that.
Yeah.
And she dropped the ring like on the plane, and it rolled.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Panic.
Oh, my God.
Panic. I'm like,
yeah, that's it. It's gone.
And it wasn't insured yet, because it was like. Like that week.
Yeah.
So we were still waiting for the insurance papers, and I'm just like, just see you later.
Yeah. That was it. You lost it.
Nice old lady behind us gave it back.
Really? Yeah. Oh, man, that's huge. Noah said, I went to a wedding at a chapel. There was a wedding in there before us, and we heard screaming coming from inside. Apparently, from what the photographer said, the wife had invited her former lover, and the groom didn't know about it until he saw him in the crowd. I don't think they finished the ceremony that day. Don't invite your exes to your wedding ever, right?
Why? No. Even if you're friends, if my ex invited me to their wedding, I would politely decline. I'll send a gift.
You'll
but
send a
I'm
gift?
Not showing up because the other
that's,
dude.
That's somebody else's day. Like, you yeah. don't, you don't like, need to be a part
yeah,
of that, right?
Why do you need me there for that? Yeah. Like, that's weird, man.
Yeah. And our buddy Chucklehead in chat said, at my wedding, the minister said, I now pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. my wife's ex's last name.
Ear muff. Ear muff.
Cover your ears.
All right, so we're doing Cover Your Ears. We are live back in the studio today. It feels great to be here. We've got songs that you have heard many times before on this radio station, and they're covered by other people, which makes it a little bit tricky to try to figure out what they are. Now, Mahoney and Audrey, you guys are playing against each other today, so when you think you know the answer, you'll go ahead and raise your hand. We'll let the 30 seconds go ahead and play out. If you get the artist and the song, it's a full point. The artist or the song, and it's a half point, but just go ahead and put your hand up whenever you think you know the answer. Best of luck
to
you.
Can you see my hands okay?
I can see
you.
Yeah.
Do I go like this?
Yeah, you're not that far away. So,
okay.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure that you can see whenever I am trying to beat Mahoney.
It feels like you're brimming with confidence. You feel like you got this one today?
Yes.
Okay, good. Got a total of three, a fourth as a bonus if we should need it. Here we go. Song number one, and cover your ears. Good luck.
It tells me it's on time, but I'm not finished. Cause you're not by my side. And as I ran, I thought I saw you leaving. Gary in your shoes. Sad that once again I was just dreaming. Bumping into you. No, it's 3 a.m. Now I'm trying to change your mind.
Mahoney put his hand
in.
Oh,
yeah. I got it.
What is it?
It's Arctic Monkeys, right?
Yep.
And it's, I don't know the name of the song.
The name of the song is,
that was hard.
Do I Want to Know?
Yes.
No, it's not.
Oh, they were right there, Dave.
So Mahoney, you get the half point on that one. It's Why'd You Only Call Me When You're High.
That's
the,
it's the
other one. So that was a tough one. That was a hard one to start with. Okay. Mahoney gets a half point. Here we go on to number two. Good luck.
Like open door, leading you down to my car, where I become so numb without your song. My spirit sleeping from my cold until you're sleeping back.
All right, Audrey.
I got really nervous because now at the very end, I think it's something different.
No, go with your gut, I think. Because you seem really confident when you rang in, right?
Is it Evanescence?
Yeah.
Okay. Whew, okay.
What's the song?
At the very end, I got nervous. Bring me to life.
Yeah.
Full point.
Was that you were confident.
Tiny Tim.
Yeah. Was that a resurrected Tiny Tim?
I think so. Yes.
Was it
resurrected?
Or is Tiny Tim still alive?
No. He passed away on live television, unfortunately. So.
Oh, I thought you were talking about.
Yeah. You guys didn't know that.
No.
No.
Yeah. Look that up, man. Huh. Crazy story. But huh. So was Tiny Tim. So.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. So, Audrey full point. Mahoney half point. Here we go. On to number three. Audrey, if you get a full point here, you win. Right, Audrey.
So it's Linkin Park.
Uh-huh.
But is it, I don't know necessarily if this is the name of the song, but is it Numb? No. Wake Me Up?
No. You get a half point for Linkin Park. It is not Smash Mouth. Okay. Mahoney, do you have the song?
Was that In the End?
No.
I know. All the Linkin Park songs sound the same to me.
What I've done.
Same difference.
Transformers.
All the same song. Yeah. All the same song. I like them all.
So let's see.
It's like the Chili Peppers. So they all sound the same.
Audrey has a point and a half, and that means that Mahoney, even if we were to get the bonus one, wouldn't win. Audrey, you win.
Let's go for the bonus. Play that bonus.
You want the bonus?
Yeah. The people want the bonus, Dave.
All right, let's do it. Tell them what it is.
It's your Beer for Breakfast song.
Yes,
yeah, Beer for Breakfast.
Sound anything like that.
It's a song. Nothing's gonna
ever keep you down. The replacement Beer for Breakfast? Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I lose today. I'll take the loss.
Yeah, you will.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So robot companies want to improve mental health and loneliness in older people. And they do sometimes. Like having an actual robot companion is good for people that sometimes are old and lonely. Would you guys hook great grandma up at the nursing home with a robot dog if you thought that it would make her happier? Because, yeah. I mean, I'll get her a Roomba.
Yeah. Just put like some puppy ears on it.
I would think, you know, obviously a real dog, and, you know, they've shown that dogs and other animals offer real companionship. But sometimes when you get to a certain age, or if you're in a home, they may not allow animals, or you may not be capable of taking care of animals. So as ridiculous as this kind of sounds for somebody like me, I would go, yeah, I think this is great. You know, if it's going to help somebody out, perfect.
Just get them like one of those Tamagotchi things.
See,
you remember those?
Robot companions are one thing. I also, Mahoney, me and you have disagreed on this a number of times over the years. I think sex robots are like a couple of years away, and I think they're going to be
massive,
huge, enormous.
Like Westworld style.
Yeah. I mean, right now they're not realistic enough, and that makes them super creepy, right?
Yeah.
But you think about the fact that most people will sit in front of this and go to town on themselves. What's the difference?
What's the difference that, like, you know, I'm not going to, it's not, I'm not going to, the lightning's not going to strike my house, send a current through it, and electrocute my junk?
We never get rain.
That's what you're worried about?
Really?
Is you're worried about getting electrocuted by lightning?
Like, think about how often your computer crashes or how often your phone malfunctions. Nah, man, that ain't happening. With that's too sensitive of an area, man.
Mahoney's going to accidentally take it in the bathtub.
Technology. I got to, like, not let you get out.
Yeah, it's not like it has the jaws of life in it.
And you don't know that. You don't know what I'm into.
If the battery doesn't.
Yeah, what?
Oh, jeez.
Like a scissors.
We should have thought this feature through.
It's terrible. So, A study found that 78 minutes of music a day improves your mental health. So speaking of mental health, I mean, that's something that a lot of people are juggling with right now and trying to figure out, you know, how to get through their day. And music is a big part of it. So the study examined the habits of 7,500 people and their listening habits and how it affected their physical and mental well-being. 90% of participants expressed relaxation as an emotional benefit of listening to music. Others said that they experienced actual happiness, overcoming sadness, concentration, anger.
I believe it.
I feel like whenever I'm in a particular type of mood, like a song really changes how I feel sometimes.
Dave's so angry. He puts on Limp Bizkit break stuff.
Dude, I heard that on the radio this weekend. Still a banger.
It's still a banger.
Thank you.
Oh man!
I mean, I agree with this, and I think we all use music as a form of therapy in one way, shape, or another. You know, like when I want to relax, I put on soothing music. If I want to get if I want to get amped up for the gym, but we know that's not happening. If you guys want to get amped up for the gym, you have your gym playlist. Like for me, something that makes me super happy anytime I listen to it is Christmas music. So it's like
if I feel Christmas music, even in the middle of the summer,
right now,
really?
We're creeping up.
Yeah, it's getting there.
Like, I don't mind. Like, Christmas music right now, I've got all of Bing Crosby's greatest hits on my phone.
Ooh.
Like, if I'm feeling down and I'm just driving or I get really, you know, I just don't want to think about things, just turn on
Mariah
some
Carey,
music.
Full blast. Man, all I want for Christmas is
more,
you.
I'm more of a 50s crooner style.
Let me just imagine you just cranking it out.
Just crying to Mariah Carey while cruising down the street in his Avalon. His Tommy Bahama blowing out the window.
That is the last song that was like grandfathered into like the Christmas classics, though. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you think about it, that song's almost, was it 30 years old? Didn't that come out in like 91 or something?
Oh,
like
yeah,
that?
It's been a million years.
Interesting note on what we were talking about earlier with, you know, the adult robots, if you will. Cleve said, crazy stat, 60% of Japanese males under 30 prefer robot love and affection to real people.
That's a big number. 30% of Japanese men.
I don't believe it. I feel like that's got
to
be skewed.
No, it said 60% of Japanese men below the age of 30.
Yeah, because they're also virgins. That's why. Like, wait until you experience the real thing, man.
I mean, I bet it's kind of, honestly probably better.
What, the robot?
Yeah. No.
Maybe for you, not for us.
No, it's fine.
Bye. I mean, nobody can do it like you can, you know?
I don't know me better than anyone
else. That's what
else.
I'm saying. Nobody can do it like
that. Mahoney's like, I want to cry on a real person right after I'm done. And finally, big fan of oatmeal cream pies. I know that some people don't like oatmeal cream pies.
What a segue.
But I'm a big fan of oatmeal cream pies.
What? Like the Little Debbie ones?
Yeah, the Little Debbie ones.
Hell yeah, bro. Yeah.
Or whatever kind you're offering.
So where are we going with this?
This December, the classic cookie brand is partnering with Kellogg's to launch oatmeal cream pie cereal.
Oh, okay. I'm into that. I'll give that a try.
Will you?
Sure.
Well, you won't have sex with a robot, but you'll have oatmeal cream pie cereal?
All day long. I mean, nobody asked me if I was going to have the relations with an oatmeal cream pie bowl of cereal.
Oh, no.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
All right, so say you win $15 million in, like, the lotto or something. Obviously, that's a lot of money. But in your opinions, what is the least amount of that win that you should donate to charity? Like, you got to give back, guys.
Message deleted.
But you're saying if you win $15,000, you're supposed to give some to charity? Like 0%. No, yeah. No way. No way.
I mean, depends on your situation, man. Like,
if
most
you win $15 million on mega bucks or in the lottery or something like that, then sure. I mean, you have extra money. But $15,000 would, I think for most people, like,
pay off your cards.
I think they're saying $15 million, though.
Oh, $15 million? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, $15 million is a lot different. I mean, then you have extra money that you don't need, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would say that you maybe
10%,
$1.5 million. Now, are we talking $15 million pre-tax?
Because if you're talking Canada,
let's just say
you have
$15 million in your hands.
Yeah, you can afford to give $1 million, $1.5 million away pretty easily. Still be fine.
I would start a foundation.
The
Mahoney Foundation.
The Mahoney Foundation, yeah.
For Tommy Bahamas everywhere?
That feeds hungry Mahoneys.
That's you and Bossy Ross here, like, this is awesome.
It's like a bunch of hot dogs.
Yeah, I mean, like, when if you have money, like, I feel like those who have more than they could ever use, you know, then you got a responsibility to start something like that. But, like,
you gotta send the elevator back down.
If you won $15,000, like, for most of us, like, that is.
See, I'm just, like, getting caught up on bills, and even that's not enough. Yeah. You know, that's just trying to make a.
That's half a new Hyundai.
Yeah.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Audrey, Ian, learn. See, the thing about going from your 20s to your 30s and then approaching the 40s, it's not that you're just getting older. It's simply that you're just not that young anymore. Part of life. Enjoy.
Message deleted.
Stop reminding me. I'm like really not doing very well thinking that I'm approaching 30.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, that's I'm like going through like my young midlife crisis where I'm like trying to like dress like a TikToker.
Are you and Mahoney are going to pull up in matching Corvettes one day soon? Like, what is happening?
That new Corvette is sick.
You see? It's not the Corvette's gotten cooler.
It's
gotten
cooler.
You've gotten less cool.
No. The new Corvette is cherry, man. That thing looks awesome.
You also can't call it cherry while zipping around, dropping Abbott and Costello references.
Sure I can.
And your Jordan slides. Yeah,
absolutely,
I'm like one of the Jets. Come to get you. What's up? Story.
Also, do you feel like though? I know. You know, we are getting older, but I feel like even as we get older, it feels like they're younger. You know, because I know plenty of guys who are in their 50s and 60s now, who are still young and vibrant.
Yes, and then
I feel like when I was a kid, I didn't know any but any 60-year-old. I thought they were like one day away from death.
For real, though.
Well, but it also feels like the paradigm of how you're supposed to act has just shifted, right? I mean, I didn't have, like, none of my dad's friends, just because of who his friends were, but none of, like, my dad's friends who were even 40 at the time were, like, showing up with, like, a flat-billed baseball cap on that he's wearing backwards, you know, and still had, like, a 24-year-old girlfriend. Like, that didn't exist.
But if you think about, like, 60-year-olds in, like, the 80s and the 70s and things like that, like, those are the guys who saw action in World War II or Korea or Nam. Mean. And so they saw real stuff. Whereas, like, if you were born in 1980, you know, and you didn't serve, like, we kind of...
Man, like you don't really appreciate just like how awful the 40s were until you go back.
30s too.
Have you guys heard of the? You know who Rick Steves is? He does like a bunch of shows, I think, for PBS. Yeah.
Rick Steves Europe? Great show.
He does
nerdiest
like a bunch,
guy on PBS.
Nerdiest guy on PBS, but like very obviously well-informed, very well-educated, and knows everything about everything in Europe, right? He actually did a special that's on Amazon Prime and PBS as well called The Rise of Fascism in Europe. And it just like takes you through like Mussolini and Hitler and everything else.
Gosh.
And you're like, man, all this stuff happened within like 8 years. Like Germany had just gotten their asses kicked in World War I. And then Hitler comes around like 6 years later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a
20s, 30s and 40s. Were
crazy time, man. Mm-hmm. But the point is, you're right. I mean, like we're all like just soft and fat.
Yeah, there wasn't a draft. It was, you know, we had Ninja Turtles. Yeah.
Our war is video games.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've experienced, you know, obviously
Mahoney's
over here. He's like
I've
gone to
war.
I've seen some combat.
No, I'm saying combat. You know, we had, you know, Operation Desert
Storm. Three tours this weekend.
You know, everything that's happened in Iraq and Afghanistan, but those weren't drafts. You know, they didn't draft everybody
into the military.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, none of that. It was.
I mean, can you imagine
a different time
being Elvis?
Can you just imagine them just saying you have to go to war?
Oh no!
Like, I mean, that's
the one good thing about being too fat now.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not putting me anywhere.
Please leave a message.
Unless they're like, let's put this guy in the front line and hide behind him. Then maybe.
The enemy ran out of ammo. It was crazy.
Hey, guys,
fine.
Do you have any quirks or habits that you do when you're by yourself? Like, if I'm driving around by myself and I see, like, the shredded truck, I'll do, like, the air guitar thing from Bill and Ted. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's, like, a habit that I have. You should try it. It's really fun.
Message deleted.
I don't think I'm going to do that, but, I mean, if we have weird habits, I mean.
We do when we're alone?
I mean.
I pick my nose.
Sure.
Yeah, but I mean, are you talking like you go full finger in, or you do the little thumb and like
I do it how
pointer
I
finger
a,
like
I have
the
a
little
nose ring.
The classic.
I have a nose ring. There's so many things that this
Do the bugs get stuck on the back of the nose ring?
Oh, and it's like a corkscrew, so it's like all around it.
Wow. What do you do with them?
Just flick my ponytail.
And then you suddenly realize one day that Ian is sitting outside of your window with his mouth
Pac-Man.
Open.
Pac-Man.
No, he eats his own because it has a, there's a
That's
medical.
It's not true.
So gross.
It's bonus not, to it.
Do your research, Dave.
Also, Mahoney said because there's a medical bonus to it.
Whatever the word is, I don't know.
Bonus.
Whatever. You
what's the word? Yeah. You don't level up.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So I don't know if this counts as retirement because it's not really retirement, but the majority of workers expect that their retirement is going to include a job. According to a new survey, 59% say they expect to keep working into retirement. New study said that for Generation X, that share is 60%. For millennials, 49%. Over 54% overall say that they expect that their retirement years will have a job of some sort. I wonder if that's just because of they don't expect there to be the Social Security money there whenever they get through.
That, do you think that? Or,
I think there's a possibility by the time that Dave and I hit the age of Social Security that, you know, we've been paying into for 50 years.
Won't be there.
It won't be there. I think that's a real possibility. I also think that it's the squeezing of the middle class.
Yeah.
They want us working cradle to the grave at this point. You know, that's what the big corporations and these mega billionaires, they don't care about the quality of life of their workers. They just want, hey, how much money can you make us? And I think that these stats are reflecting the reality that is going to be facing a lot of us, unless you are exceptionally well off and you do very well. Most of us are probably going to work until the day we die.
What's the stat that like 90% of wealth is inherited?
Yeah.
So is that what it is?
So the idea that, you know, like everyone's got a shot and we should be mad at people that are getting, bogus. You know, money from the government or whatever. That's just garbage. Yeah. It's just all a lie. It's all a lie to make us side with the people that have a ton of money. Like we somehow associate ourselves with like the rich people that have good.
We're all millionaires who are temporary broke, as they say.
Yep.
And this is why, you know, like, you know, we don't talk politics on the show and we never will. But I'll tell you this. The people, if you're a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, whatever you are, all of us have way more in common than we have differences.
Yep.
And the real issue is wealth equality here in America, and the squeezing of the middle class.
Well,
not giving anybody in the lower class a shot.
Like, yeah. We were talking about this, I think, a month and a half ago on the show, that if you are getting paid $7.25 an hour, like saying, like in the pandemic, who were the people who were actually allowed to still work? Grocery store workers, yep. Fast food workers,
delivery drivers,
people who are getting paid the bare minimum to survive.
Yep.
And what was it? Like you guys said, I think it was like 90% of people who are making that wage can't even afford a one-bedroom apartment
country. If you're working 40 hours a week, if you're working the max hours that most of those companies will give you.
And most
so now all of a sudden
more than that too.
You can have two jobs basically working full time and still barely be able to afford just the basics.
Yeah, the lie that like if you're working, like the people who crap on people who work in fast food or work as delivery drivers, they've never done a day of work like that in their life.
In their entire life.
Because then you would know, like, or if you've never worked in a restaurant, like how
Except
hard
for that
it
bitch
is.
At Wendy's last night that screwed up my chicken sandwich.
Ooh.
How you gonna screw up a chicken sandwich? Everyone's cool except for you.
What did she do? This is an attack.
Well, because it was supposed to be the Asiago Ranch chicken,
okay.
Which is delicious.
What did she do?
Instead, it was like a prison meal. It was like one chicken breast on top of like a kid's like junior bacon bun. Yeah, and one piece of lettuce, and that's it. There's
well,
nothing
they,
else.
They
that sounds fine.
Whatever, man.
Unacceptable. No,
get out of here with that. And like,
they're always busy.
Here's the thing: don't hate somebody because they believe something different to them. Then you talk to them, work it out, and realize that, like, you know, a lot of us are experiencing very, very similar things.
Mm-hmm. And also, no one's going to care, no matter how fired up you are about your political opinions when you did.
Yeah.
Ain't
exactly.
Nobody. So if you want the key to happiness and wealth, this is the way to do it. A man whose father gave him 18-year-old whiskey every year for his birthday has now sold the collection to buy a house. So he was born in 1992. Over the course of his life, his dad, Pete, spent about $6,500 on 28 bottles of the Macallan single malt. And the collection is now worth more than $50,000 and has been put up for sale. Again, this kid's 28 years old. He said it probably wasn't the best gift for a young boy, but with strict instructions to never open it, it became a nest egg. His dad, Pete, who is actually from Scotland, said the first bottle of 1974 whiskey was bought to wet the baby's head. I thought it'd be interesting if I bought one every year, and he ended up with 18 bottles as an 18-year-old boy of 18-year-old whiskey. Sure enough, of course, that stuff goes up in value, and now he's got all of this money, and he is buying his first house with it.
And good on that guy, because at like 17...
You know there's some like house party where like everyone opens it and just blows through every drop of it. It just pukes everywhere.
We're all guilty of getting into your friend's dad's good booze. And now as a man who is an appreciator and a connoisseur of fine whiskeys and bourbons, it breaks my heart. Your kids don't know what you're doing, but good on him. I mean, who knew it would appreciate that much?
Good on him. 10x basically over the course of his life. And yeah, I mean, it just so happens that this happens to be, like you said, a time where there's like a big renaissance for fine alcohol.
Bourbon and it
worked
out
great. Yeah.
I thought that a second ago you were doing the calculations on your phone for if you were to keep all of your bourbon, what it would turn into an 18
year. I was calculating on my phone if I had enough to buy it.
Oh.
I'm about $50,000 short.
Oh, okay.
For the $50,000 price tag.
Yes. Yes.
Full budget spent on Tommy Bahamas this weekend. Whoops.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So I was talking the other day about how like those electric fly swatters and the assault guns for the flies.
Bug
like
assaults.
Little pests. Yeah, those things are pretty cool. But this guy did not have a great experience. He is a French guy. He blew up his kitchen while trying to kill a fly that was disturbing his dinner. So you can imagine in your head, like he was... probably pretty pissed at this fly, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was bugging him when he was trying to eat. And so he decided he'd had enough. He got irritated by the fly. The 80-year-old, who was not named, took out an electronic bug zapper. On this occasion, gas was leaking into the guy's house. And the very hot zapper ignited the gas, causing a sudden explosion. Luckily, the guy was able to get away with just a burned hand after diving onto the floor. But the kitchen was destroyed along with part of the roof of his house.
So you say electric bug zapper. To me, that doesn't scream electric fly swatter. To me, that screams those one things you used to have in the backyard, you know what I'm saying?
Like the
purple light.
Yeah.
It was like...
So, I mean, growing up in Minnesota as a kid, I mean, like, bug zappers were a very real part of it.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, they just sounded like you would... like you'd get radiation poisoning if you went near it. I mean, the whole time it's just like
you always hear the bug.
Do you think bugs were named, like, what came first? Were insects named after bugs, or was it like somebody was bugging you, so we named insects bugs?
Oh,
or did it all just happen at once?
I think insect.
I'm really curious about how it all happened. I mean, when you think about an elephant being named an elephant.
Yeah.
Like, somebody decided that it was called an elephant.
Latin.
No, and then somebody else had decided...
Well, Latin. Somebody in Latin.
Somebody else had decided that it was called
Greece,
something else. Like, did they have, like, a battle royale to universally everyone decide that is, in fact, an elephant?
Yeah, like, can you imagine somebody just being like, this is a pin? And you'd be like, no, that's not a pin. That's a marker.
It's a thimble.
But you had to really probably like beat up everybody. You probably had to like duel.
Is that why there were so many wars back in the day? Is it was really just over like what you call a giraffe?
Yeah, yes.
Well, like
not property.
These sounds that we make anyway that they mean anything. If you think about that, right?
Yeah.
Because if it's like when you listen to a language that you don't know, it also, just sounds like sounds. You're like, what?
Also, isn't it kind of a weird flex that doctors when they're talking about medicines? Like, they always come up with ridiculously long names that we're too stupid to understand.
Love it, though, when they put their name in it.
When they put their... Wait, some of the doctors put their own name in
like
the
sometimes,
drug?
Sometimes, yeah. Or like their names. Like, especially if it's, like, a cool last name. It'll be, like, in, like, the species of bug or, like, the species of animal that they've found.
Yeah.
Tom, on our Facebook page, pointed out elephant versus pachyderm.
A pachyderm is a way cooler name than an elephant.
But that's
I would have been on the losing team. I would have sided with the pachyderms.
But is a pachyderm what it is called, like its actual scientific name?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah, like a pachydermatologist is the full name.
Yeah, pachydermatologist. Yeah. An elephant man actually names the elephant.
So a dude rented a car, and he didn't return it for a year. How much do you think it cost to rent a car and not bring it back for a year?
Late fees and everything?
$1 million.
Oh, probably $60,000.
$72,000.
What kind of car was it, though?
It didn't even say.
I hope it was a Honda Civic.
It was,
06.
No, it's always a Chevy Malibu. Whenever you go,
always.
Whenever you go to a car rental place for whatever reason, it's always a Malibu.
Like a
you
don't Nissan see Malibus Sentra.
Out. Yeah, you don't see Malibus out in the wild
unless it's at the beach, and then they're like Chrysler Sebring. You're like, do they even make these anymore? They're like, it's a convertible. Would you like the extra $12 a day?
Yes.
Fine. Yes, I'll get the convertible. Then you're cruising down the drag in Myrtle Beach. Your hair's blowing in the wind. You think you look so cool, but you don't. $72,000, wow. Mahoney. That's something. And a strange story here from Albany. The headline itself. An Albany man rescued from Lake George by priests floating on a tiki bar. All right. The guy's name is Jimmy McDonald from Albany. He was paddling in a kayak. As Jimmy tells it, he drifted away from his wife and stepkids because he was taking pictures with his new smartphone and not really paying attention. As he tried to make his way back, the water got choppier and he paddled harder before he tipped over and lost his paddle. He was about 30 feet. He was in about 30 feet of water and his life jacket that also didn't fit very well was coming up over his head as he was holding onto the kayak with one hand and his new $1,400 smartphone in the other. He said that some other people, kayakers and canoeists, were passing by in the distance, but the former amateur boxer's pride wouldn't let him scream for help. So for several exhausting minutes, he kept trying to right the kayak. And he said that there's a guy whose name is Greg. He's the captain of Tiki Tours. A lot of things aligned that day. He typically pilots parties, but not on this day. He said that he first saw this guy was turned over, and thankfully for him, he had a boat full of priests that were all like, well, this is fun. Let's help this guy out. So Jimmy, drug counselor, recovering addict, laughed about it, said, how funny is it that I've been sober for 7 years and then I get saved by a tiki bar? And it's not just a tiki bar, it's a bar full of priests, people from the seminary on a Catholic retreat on the lake.
I mean, it all comes together, man. I'm like, I feel like you got to start going to church now.
You have to.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. By the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.